So this morning we are in week number two of this Fool's Gold series. And wisdom, let me say this, wisdom is something many search for, but oftentimes come up empty. They search for it, and it's oftentimes never found. And why is that? Why, if we search so desperately for it, does it oftentimes, do we come up empty? I'll say this, because it's not easy. The process of finding wisdom is not an easy one. And let's face it, we like things to be easy, right? We like a 1, 2, 3, do this, 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 and this, and you'll get the result that you're looking for. And wisdom doesn't work that way. It's hard, and one has to dig deep to find it. And that's why oftentimes we come up short, because quite simply, we're not willing to do the work, right? We're just not willing to do the work. We're willing to go so far to find it, but man, when it gets to this point, we grow weary and we don't want to do the work anymore. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. People could not find gold simply by looking on the surface when they searched for it. If that was the case, everybody'd do it, right? If it was just a matter of going out in the backyard and finding it laying on the ground, everybody'd be doing it. But finding gold is not that easy. They had to dig deep for it. It wasn't just laying on the surface. They had to mine for it. They have to dig deep for it. They have to wade through rivers and streams, and they got to pan for it and dig for it. And they dig in mines, and they dig in mountains. Hence the name gold digger, right? So it's a process, and it takes a lot of work to find the gold. And that's why not everybody does it, because it's not easy. And this is in part why gold was and is so valuable, because it's not easy to come by and it requires a lot of work. And generally, the more work something requires, the more value it has. And that so is true with wisdom. Wisdom has so much value because it takes an awful lot. It's a hard process to attain. And today is the day we dig deeper together. As the body of Christ, we need to dig deeper together and encourage one another to go deeper to find something even more valuable than gold. Our scripture or our text this morning comes from the book of Job. If you have a Bible or a Bible app or whatever the case may be, I encourage you to turn there. It's going to be Job chapter 28. And we're going to be starting in verse 12. Starting in verse 12. I want to tell you something about the book of Job. It's a fascinating book. Love the book of Job. And I would highly encourage you to spend some time reading this book this week. It talks about a servant of God named Job, hence the book Job. And Job was someone who was thought to be upright and sought to live a life that was in line with God, that was in step with God. Job was someone was known as just such a faithful servant, such a man of God. It would be an understatement to say that Satan took a few things from Job. It would be an understatement to say that Satan took much from Job, and it wouldn't be an understatement to say that Satan took nearly everything from Job. So much so that someone like you and I probably wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't have the faith, I don't think, to endure all that Job endured and still remain faithful. Praise God that he has not called upon me to be or have that much faith as he did at Job. Throughout the book, Job and his friends have an ongoing dialogue about this. And some encourage Job to just curse God. And some say to Job, what have you done to deserve all this? And on the contrary, it was just the opposite. Job lived an upright life. And so then his friends are saying, what have you done that we don't know about? Why is God cursing you this way? This is a lot about what the book of Job is like. And yet he remains faithful. And starting in verse 12, this is what he says. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. Hear what the writer is saying here? That wisdom cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says it's not in me. The sea says it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? In verse 21, it is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. God alone knows where it can be found. Wisdom is so valuable because, well, this text says so. How much value it has and how hard it is to find it, and that it cannot be found in anything other than in God. Within this passage, there are a few things that I want to talk about this morning. Job tells us where to find wisdom. That's what he ends with. But before we can know where to find it, I think it's important to point out some of the places that it's not. Because I think this is where we get confused. We look for wisdom in places that it's not. So first, I want to talk about a little bit where wisdom is not found. The text says that wisdom is not found in the land of the living. It's not found in the land of the living. In this passage, Job is talking to us about the source of wisdom, and he makes it clear in verse 13 that wisdom is not found among the living things. That means wisdom is not found in you and I. It's not found in the birds of the air and the trees and the seas or anything else living on this earth. You know why we can't produce wisdom on our own? It's because of our fallen nature, right? You and I can't find wisdom or produce wisdom on our own simply because of our fallen nature. See, our understanding is limited, and it's also tainted at the same time because of our fallen nature. We know what Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means we have a fallen nature. That means we have a sinful nature. And that means each and every one of us. And for that reason, we can't produce wisdom. See, Paul makes it very clear in that text in Romans 3:23 that every single human being has sinned and falls short of the glorious standard that God has set before us. Humans have proven to lack wisdom since the beginning of time. Since Genesis, humans have lacked wisdom. It all started way back in Genesis chapter 3 when man showed his inability to have wisdom. When Adam and Eve decided to disobey God's commandment, that was not a wise choice. That lacked a lot of wisdom. So since then, and every human since then has lacked wisdom because of our fallen nature. From this moment on, human beings were infected with this disease we call sin. And sin separates us from God. Sin creates in us this inability to attain wisdom within. Right? So ever since then, we've struggled, which means, as the Romans say, we have all sinned and disobeyed God. And I would add that we have lacked wisdom ever since. It's crazy to me to think about a man like Job. that we're talking about in our main text today. It's crazy to me to think about Job even falling into this same category. The Bible tells us earlier in the book of Job that he was blameless. Earlier in the text, it says he was blameless. In fact, earlier in the text, God calls Job the finest man in all of the earth. That's how God describes Job, as the finest man in all of the earth. A blameless man and the finest in all of the earth still did not have wisdom without digging deep, without going through the work, without going through the process, without living a life of faith. A blameless man, the finest on earth, still had to go through the process and still had to go through the heartache to find wisdom. Why would we think that it would be any different for any of us? Job shows us true worth of wisdom in chapter 28. He says that wisdom cannot be purchased with silver or gold, and that the price of wisdom is far beyond rubies. The thing that we are searching for, this wisdom, this thing that we desire called wisdom, cannot be bought for a price, because it is simply priceless. And many in our world today desire to have wisdom and understanding, but they do not understand where it comes from, and they don't understand that it can't be purchased with material wealth, that it basically can't be bought at all. Because wisdom bought with material goods is false wisdom. It's false wisdom. And yet many claim to have it and are even willing to show you how to buy it, right? Many a man claim to have figured out a way to buy wisdom somehow and are even willing to show you how to do it. It's false wisdom. It's false wisdom. To highlight this reality, consider Matthew 19, where we read the story of a rich man coming to Jesus and asking him a simple question. The rich young man comes to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, I have one question for you, and it's this: how do I obtain eternal life?" And Jesus first says to him, "Well, you got to follow the commandments." And the man says, "I do follow the commandments." And I believe this man was asking a sincere and genuine question. I do believe that he obeyed the commandments, and he truly, genuinely wanted to know the answer. He didn't like the answer, though. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, basically, sell all of your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. Wow. That's pretty, that's not the response that he was hoping for. Jesus responded to him by saying, you must sell all of your possessions. That sounds like the very opposite of being able to buy wisdom. Not only is God telling us you can't buy wisdom, he said you'd be better off to sell everything and just follow me. You want wisdom? You want abundant life? Sell everything, give to the poor, and follow me. Yet we try and do it just the opposite. We seem to have it all backwards. This rich man was saddened because he was told that all he had to do. Maybe for the first time in his life, he realized in that moment that money and possessions that he owned could not give him what he actually wanted the most. See, I believe probably for much of his life, he was able to have anything that he wanted because he could simply buy it. And in that moment, he realized the one thing that I want the most is the one thing that Jesus is now telling me that I can't purchase. In fact, he's saying, Jesus is telling me just the opposite. The one thing that I want, I have to get rid of everything that I've already bought to get the one thing that I really want. For years, he had pretty much all that he wanted except for the one thing. In the same way, money can't buy wisdom, nor can any amount of possessions be traded or exchanged for wisdom. See, he didn't just say, sell all your possessions and you'll have wisdom. because that would be like in an exchange, right? Like, exchange all of this for wisdom. No, what he said is, sell all of your possessions, give to the poor, and then follow me. It's not just a simple exchange like, hey, just give up this and boom, you got wisdom. No, there was a second part to it. He says, you got to give something here, you got to give something here, you got to follow me, and then you will get, you'll attain what you want. It's not just a simple exchange. And in what or in whom, you may ask, can I obtain all this elusive wisdom? And this brings us to another point. Because it's not found among the living, and because it cannot be purchased, many find wisdom hard to find. So it can't be found in living things, and it can't be purchased with material possessions. That makes it hard to attain. And I tell you, the other reason people have a hard time with wisdom, because I think they think they already have it, right? I think if you ask the majority of people, they would say, yeah, I have a great amount of wisdom. I've lived a long time. I've been through this. I have wisdom. But what they have is knowledge. They have is knowledge. And knowledge and wisdom are two very different things. You can have knowledge and not have wisdom. But you can't have wisdom without knowledge. You can have knowledge without wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without knowledge. Knowledge is good. You should have knowledge. You should gain all kinds of knowledge, but don't misunderstand that it's not the same as, but understand it's not the same as wisdom. It's not the same. Spend enough money on books, on Amazon, and you will fill your mind with all kinds of knowledge. Read articles on the web, on the internet, and you'll have all kinds of knowledge. Talk to people in different fields and listen to what they say, and you will be filled with knowledge. And knowledge is good. Knowledge can be found among the living by asking others who have gained a lot of it throughout their life. Knowledge can be found among the living, right? Knowledge can even be found by observing the living, by observing the living creatures, and by observing the birds in the air and the trees and the oceans and all that stuff. We can gain knowledge by observing the living, but we can't gain wisdom that way. Knowledge can be found among the living and by asking others, as I said. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge and still lack wisdom. There's a lot of knowledgeable people that don't have wisdom. A lot of intelligent people make a lot of poor choices, right? You know why? Because they haven't gone through the process of converting knowledge into wisdom. They haven't gone through that process. Wisdom comes only when we faithfully and prayerfully dig deeper and apply the knowledge that we've gained to our personal lives. And it's a lifetime process. It doesn't happen overnight. And Job says that God, only God, understands the way. In our final verse of our passage from Job 28, we read these words, God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. God is the one who created all, and he is the one who sees all and is around and in all. Back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, before sin comes into the picture, we read about all that God had created. And he said what? He said, it's good. He said, it is good. Look at what I've created, and it is good. That was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before we get into chapter 3. He designed everything to serve a specific purpose. See, God doesn't just design something and say, huh, now what am I going to do with it? God designs things with a specific purpose in mind, just like he creates each one of us with a specific purpose in mind. He doesn't say, oh, gosh, so-and-so was born. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to do with their life. No, he has that planned out ahead of time. He designed everything for a specific purpose. But wisdom is the one thing he seems to have kept for himself. I'm going to keep wisdom for myself, and I am going to distribute it to those who go through the process. I'm going to give it to those who are willing to dig a little deeper. I'm going to give it to those who are willing to work a little harder for it. I'm going to give it to those who are willing to take the knowledge they've gained and refine it and go through the process to find it, and then I will give them wisdom. And then I will give it to them. And in the account of creation, we see that there is an order to all that he created. It's amazing how everything works together in perfect order, from the sun to the moon and the way they orbit around one another. Incredible, right? Incredible detail in how he makes it all work together day in and day out. Therefore, we know that God holds the keys to finding wisdom. And what must we do to get it? What must you and I do to achieve it? I believe it requires us to simply ask him for it. We have to ask for it. When we were young and growing up, we asked for parents for things all the time, right? And sometimes they would just, without question, just automatically give us what we wanted. Some days you ask for a candy bar at the store and they would say, okay. The next day you ask for a candy bar at the store and the answer is no. We don't know. We didn't know why. We just thought they were being mean, right? We ask for our parents for when we're growing up. Mom, can I have this doll? Can I have this pair of jeans? Parents back then had it easy, okay? Parents back then had it easy because children would ask for things like an elephant ear at the fair, right? Mom, can I have an elephant ear at the fair? Now you know what kids ask for? Dad, can I have an iPhone 12 Plus? I mean, we're talking about an $8 elephant ear compared to a $1,000 phone. You had it easy. I mean, they're asking for things like this. But there's a verse in Matthew 7, and it says this, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And here is what he says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. You know something about that verse? That verse is awesome, right? It says, just ask and it'll be given. Just seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. But you know what? That verse has been a stumbling block. That verse has been a spiritual stumbling block for a lot of people for a long time. And you know why? Because they've prayed for something for a long time and they haven't received it. And they're like, wait a minute. It says right here, if I seek, I'll find it. If I knock, the door will be open, and if I ask, it will be given to me. Well, I've been asking, and I've been seeking, and I've been knocking. And the door hasn't been opened, and I haven't been given what I want, and I haven't found what I want. This is not a new story to anybody. Lori and I prayed for children for 14 years. Man, you think about reading that verse and thinking, I don't get it, Lord. It says right here, we've been faithful in prayer for 14 years. And that verse can be a real stumbling block to people sometimes. But let's clarify. If I ask God for a new Tesla right now, I don't think there's going to be one sitting in my driveway when church is over. Probably not. I could pray for it right now. And if I look at this text and say, well, Lord, you say if I ask, it'll be given. So at the closing of church, I ask for a new Tesla. I go home. Guess what? It's not going to be in the parking lot. Probably not going to be a new Tesla. Chances are he will not give me that Tesla. Is it because he can't? No. Is it because he lacks the ability or the power to do it? Absolutely not. Of course not. But a Tesla isn't something I need. A Tesla isn't the right thing for me right now. Tesla certainly isn't going to provide me any wisdom that I need more than anything to navigate being the parent of an 11-year-old, okay? I need way more wisdom than I need a Tesla right now. And if you have young kids, you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy. You see, when Jesus invites us to ask God for things, he doesn't limit us to what we can ask for. He doesn't say don't ask for the Tesla. He says ask for whatever you want. However, I believe that as we go closer to God Himself, as we grow in our relationship with God, and as we grow closer to the heart of Jesus, we will understand more of His will for our lives, and we will begin to see, we will begin to see what He desires for us. And our desires will change. And one of these things is wisdom. One of His greatest desires for us is wisdom. In order to find wisdom, we have to go beyond the surface level in our faith. We have to take it to a deeper level. We must be willing to dig deeper in our relationship with God. Maybe for you, it means spending more time in prayer this week. Maybe it's spending more time in His Word this week. When you do, you learn more about who God is and who God says you are. See, there's this really cool thing that happens when we spend more time with God. Not only do we find out more about who God is, we find out more about who we are. Isn't that cool? It's not just learning more about God, it's learning about more who we are and what He created us for. Developing this kind of intimate relationship takes time. It's a process. Have you ever heard anyone say that faith is a marathon and not a sprint? People say, or you've heard that cliche a lot of times, faith is like a marathon, it's not a sprint. I don't believe that's true. Because even a marathon has an end after 26 miles. Faith is not a marathon or a sprint. It's a lifelong thing. There is no ending to it on earth. There is a finish line in a marathon. There isn't a finish line in our faith on earth. We never achieve the finish line. We never reach the final goal here on earth. The life of faith will test us like you can't imagine. A life of faith will test even the most able of all. The most prayerful of us all. The pillars of lifelong faith you look up to in the brand new believers in the room, faith will test each one of them. Faith is a process, and we must learn to trust the divine creator of the cosmos to lead us and guide us according to His will. It's also helpful to learn to ask for help when we need it. We need to develop a prayer life and a consistent rhythm of getting alone with our God. That's really the digging deeper part. I tell you, I wish it was simpler than that. I wish it was easy. I wish every time that we had a choice to make, we could just simply say, God, I need some answers, and He would just speak out with this very clear, audible voice, and we would know immediately exactly what it is that we're supposed to do. But it doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have to dig, and we have to read, and we have to pray, and we have to go through the heartaches, and we have to go through the struggles, and we have to think about it, and think about it, and it's hard. And then our answer may or may not come. And it's not easy. But this is how we dig deep. This is how we press in. This is how we obtain wisdom. I'll just close with this. The book of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. The truth goes back to the passage I just started out with in Matthew 7:7. God is a good father. He is. He is a good, good father who wants to give His kids everything they need. You believe that? God's a good, good father. He wants to give you absolutely everything that you need. And I believe that He actually wants to give you the desires of your heart. If your heart is pure. I think He will give the desires of our hearts if our hearts are pure. If our hearts are in line with His heart, if our steps are aligned with the steps His steps, if our hearts are aligned with the heart of Jesus, then I believe that He gives us the desires of our hearts. But our hearts aren't always pure. Our hearts are sometimes evil, and our hearts are sometimes wicked. And we can't expect God to give us the desires of a wicked and evil heart, right? Not everything we want, but everything we need is what God provides. And I believe that if you need wisdom, he says you can ask him freely for it. He won't look for any fault in you. He will give you the wisdom you need to live in the moment that you are in. And he will give it generously. Consider spending some more time in prayer this week. If you spend 5 minutes in prayer, usually spend 10 minutes in prayer. If you spend an hour in prayer each week, spend an hour and 15 minutes in prayer this week. Spend just a little bit longer in prayer this week. Dig deeper into his word. If you spend a half an hour reading God's word during the week, spend 45 minutes this week. Into the word, into the gospels, into the Proverbs. Seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and just see when we're willing to go the extra step and to dig a little deeper in making sure that our hearts are in line with his heart, in our thoughts in line with his word. See how much easier wisdom might be to come by if we're willing to do the work this week. And I'll just close again by reminding you this. Faith is like a race that has no end in some seasons that are more difficult than others. But God is faithful to see you through and faithful to give you all that you need for the journey. It's not a race in which there's a finish line. It's a race that we run and we run and we run until one or two things happen, until God calls us home or until the Lord returns. And until then, the search for wisdom and digging deeper in this life of faith in this process is not one that ever ends. We need to continue to do the work. We need to continue to spend time in God's word. We need to continue to spend time in prayer. And then God will give us the wisdom that we need for the moment that we need it, for the season that we are living in. Let's pray. Lord, you are, as we said, a good, good Father. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your servant Job. Wow, what a faithful ambassador. What a man of God. To be tempted, to be tried, to lose so much, to go through so much turmoil, through much physical pain, emotional trauma, and not turn his back on you. And he reminds us that wisdom can't be found in the living things, that wisdom cannot be bought, but wisdom comes from you alone. Lord, pray that you would forgive us when we look for it in all the wrong places, when we try and attain it in all the wrong places, and we just come up empty. So Lord, thank you for the reminder this morning that we need to dig a little deeper, trust a little more, work a little harder. Not work a little harder at our jobs. Work a little harder at knowing you. Work a little harder at loving you. Work a little harder at serving you. And then we will find the wisdom that we so desperately desire. And we thank you for that. Amen.